So this week, after getting back from vacation, I didn't immediately go back into the office on Monday. Instead, I had to clean out the remainder of my stuff from the upstairs of the old rectory because my last two moves were out of sequence. So I had to move in 4 weeks' time from St. Thomas Aquinas to my previous assignment as pastor up north. It's not exactly a lot of time to downsize or plan, just enough to get it all packed and moved. And then, of course, I went on to medical leave unexpectedly to leave my previous assignment. And so God bless some of my parishioners. They had the unpleasant task of packing my stuff up. And so again, not much of a chance to clean things out. So I realized that I was downsizing 5 years worth of stuff, and I got to do it from the third floor of the rectory. My watch told me that I went at least 51 flights of stairs on Monday. So it is an excellent reminder to not assume that we know exactly how things are going to go. Because in my previous assignments, I'd go, yeah, I mean, I'll downsize eventually. I've got time. And I didn't make use of the time that I did have to actually do that important and time-saving task. So as we think of our spiritual lives, there is this call on our part to be attentive to what time or season we find ourselves in. Today is not only the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, it's also the feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And you know that I have a deep love for St. Ignatius as a result of some of the spiritual direction training that I'm doing. And Ignatius's rules for discernment are ultimately about that awareness of where we find ourselves in the spiritual life and how we are to act in that time so that we can make the most of the season that we find ourselves in. So I want us to just take some time to focus today on just one of his 14 rules. It's the 11th rule, and he says, "Let one who is consoled seek to humble himself and lower himself as much as he can, thinking of how little he is capable of in the time of desolation without such grace or consolation. And on the contrary, let one who is in desolation think that he can do much with God's sufficient grace to resist all his enemies, taking strength in his Creator and Lord." At first, we may go, well, yeah, that seems obvious. When we're in a good place in the spiritual life, when we're consoled, well, hey, pride goes before the fall, so we want to make sure to stay humble. And when we are desolate, where we're in a place of sadness, not feeling the Lord's grace, well, we want to remember, of course, it's not going to last forever, and we just kind of persevere through. But how many of us do those things? Right? There's a reason that St. Ignatius observes this and makes it one of these great rules for living in the spiritual life, because just like getting up the energy to downsize when there's no real urgent need to, we don't tend to take the appropriate action. In fact, we tend to follow where our momentum is taking us. And so in these times of consolation, in our fallenness, it tends to move to the excess of believing that somehow we have earned this, or that we can cling to it, or we can make it last. And so a subtle form of pride builds up that then leaves us deeply defeated and unprepared for when the inevitable desolation comes. And in desolation, how many of us begin to reproach and to accuse and to shame ourselves and ferret around for some sort of hidden wrong that we've done, not because perhaps we have wounded our relationship with the Lord, but because we want that consolation back, or we just remain trapped in sorrow and the struggle. And so we are invited today by Ignatius, but also by our readings, really to consider this rule carefully and how we approach our spiritual state with prudence. We really see both of the states of the spiritual life, consolation and desolation, between our two readings. Consolation of hearing St. Paul speak of that feeling, the truth of knowing that we are adopted sons and daughters of God through the Holy Spirit, to the point that it rises up within us and cries out in an authentic way, "Abba, Father." We have experienced that when we speak of consolation, Ignatius is not talking about just warm fuzzies. He says he talks about anything that expands the heart in love for God. So he says that this is a flame that moves us to love for our Creator and our Lord, and it allows us to carry out His service and His praise. And it's an increase in hope, faith, and charity, an interior joy that calls and attracts to heavenly things and to the salvation of one's soul. So what St. Paul describes is, in many ways, a paradigm for consolation. It isn't just having a full belly or a comfortable life. It is this clear experience of being loved by and loving God. So how are we to carry ourselves in that time? Ignatius says we are to humble ourselves and to remember how little we are capable of when we are in the time of desolation. But we want to be careful here. Ignatius is not encouraging us to beat ourselves up and remember how rotten we are. That's not humility. Humility is truth. So even in humbling ourselves, we are becoming aware of the gift that God has given us. The idea of lowering ourselves is to remember we did not merit or create the state in which we entered into consolation. God is the one who has given us this rich experience of His great love and has made certain aspects of the spiritual life easier for us in this time. This is the first sort of lowering of ourselves that we have to do. And this is something that's intentional. So in our prayer, when we realize that we have been given a great experience of consolation or things have been going well, it's perhaps good to end our prayer or to end our day with a statement of gratitude. Gratitude for what God has given, for as long as He chooses to give it, as well as a humble statement that, Lord, whatever You desire to give me, consolation or desolation, I still love You. This anchors us and it humbles us so that our focus is not the consolation and the good feeling, but rather the One who has given it to us. And so that prepares us for the time when desolation comes, because we remember that desolation is not a punishment that God inflicts on us. Instead, it is something that He may allow so that we become aware again of our great need for Him. And it is, in a sense, the pruning that takes place so that greater growth can come. So consolation is a great gift, but it is not something we earn. Desolation is also in the hands of God a gift and is not something inflicted upon us as punishment. And so we shouldn't seek to make one or the other happen. Instead, our focus in each is on the Lord. And so we see in our gospel a man who is going into desolation. Now, Jesus, of course, is not advocating any kind of shady business dealings. This is not a teaching on moral theology. Jesus is pointing out that those who are in the world tend to know how to work in the world to merit the greatest benefit to themselves. And so he's saying in the spiritual life, we ought to do the same. In fact, we ought to be better because what we are seeking, an eternal dwelling, is far greater than anything that the world can give to those who serve the world. And so we see that instead of becoming paralyzed and giving in to hopeless, throwing himself off of a cliff, this guy begins thinking, how can I make things better for me when this rough patch passes? And so he robs from his boss. For us, when we are in that place of desolation where it is not easy to go to prayer, where it feels as though we are speaking to no one when we pray, when there is the sense that the enemy is tempting us or biting at us or discouraging us, do we give in to that? Do we give in to gratifying our temptations? Do we give in to self-pitying? Do we give in to the despair and despondency that says this will never pass? Or do we do as Ignatius encourages? Again, let one who is in desolation think that he can do much with God's sufficient grace to resist all his enemies, taking strength in his Creator and Lord. Again, we are to turn our attention away from the feelings that surround consolation and desolation and to fix our eyes on our Creator and Lord, whose love for us has not changed, nor has the sufficient grace that he's given to us changed. And so what do we do when we find that desolation is pressing in on us? Do we, in our prayer, remind ourselves of the fidelity of God to his promises, both throughout sacred scripture and history and in our own lives? Do we remind ourselves of the promises that he has made, again, in sacred scripture and in our lives? Do we remind ourselves of the truth that I have been consoled before and God has not abandoned me, and so once again he will bring me to consolation? Our focus is set on God and on his goodness. And in that, we are building up a richness that when that period of pruning and desolation passes, we are all the more attentive to the goodness and tender care of God, who then brings us to consolation. So we are invited today by our scripture, by the saint of the day, to really take to heart what Jesus calls us to be prudent in how we deal with the world and our spiritual life, to make no mistake about our goal, not simple feelings, either the gaining of them or the avoidance of them, but rather focus on the Master, not one who seeks to fire us, to dismiss us, but instead one who seeks to receive us into his eternal dwelling. And in doing this, brothers and sisters, we prepare ourselves for whatever may come in the spiritual life, not being caught up and so falling from a place of pride when things are going well, and not becoming imprisoned by discouragement and despair when we're in desolation, but instead at all times being guided by the Spirit, attentive to the one who is our Father, and even practically using the time that has been given to us well. So may we ask for Ignatius's intercession. May we be faithful stewards, and may we be faithful in dealing not with just the present age, but with the eternal dwelling that God has in store for us.